Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is the Weekly Pint. It's not a show, so on nights like tonight when I'm late, it's okay. Like, we can do that because there are no rules when it's not a real thing. It is kind of a real thing, but not a show. That needs to be made clear. For anybody that's new to this whole Weekly Pint thing that I do, there are a couple days of the year where I know that the show is probably going to be late, and I probably should have told you ahead of time, and I'll do that from now on. I'm sorry. This is one of those days. So my family and I, we always go camping 2 weekends a year. Sometimes we do more, but always 2 weekends a year. Memorial Day and Labor Day, we're always quote-unquote off-grid the whole weekend, Friday through Monday. We always leave on Monday. And in my head, I always think, okay, we can do this. Like, we can kind of hang out most of the day and then kind of leave dinner time ish or a little earlier than dinner, and we'll be fine. We'll make it happen. And it never works out that way ever. We always walk in the door at like right at 9:30. We're like right around there, and then we have to unload the car and carry everything in, and then I gotta find all the things around the studio here to plug in. This, in theory, when you have a fun little podcast studio in your basement, you should be able to just like hit a button and you are good to go. And that's not really the way it works for me. Like, I still like, there's a lot of the things that are plugged in that make this whole, like, the important parts that make this whole thing work, that I have to use every day for some kind of work-related purposes. It just doesn't always happen the way I want it to happen. Anyways, if you're new to the show, this is a live show. So if you're listening to a podcast afterwards, it's way more fun when you do it live. I get when it's like, what is it, 10 o'clock at night? When it's 10 o'clock at night, it is not always easy to jump on live. So I forgive you. I understand. I get it. But next time, tune in. Monday nights, usually around 9:30-ish. Tune in live and hang out with us. Have a drink with us. Because it's a happy hour. It's an excuse to drink together. So with that being said, if you are listening live, as you jump on, tell us what it is that you're drinking. Whatever that happens to be. And you can open up whatever you like. I've got a few fun things. I don't have a whole lot of topics to cover because I'm, in my head, going to try to make this a shorter show so that I can wrap up and go take a shower and climb into my own bed, because that sounds really wonderful. And I am just disgusting right now. I've been sweating all day loading the car and unloading the car. And I feel very gross, especially my feet for some reason. My feet feel gross. Let's see. Julia is having a Bruised Traveler from Narrow Path. Great beer. Chris is finishing up OKI Bourbon Barrel Ale and then a Rheingeist Slangria. Also a good choice. I'm not doing a schnapps to kick off the show. I think what I'm going to say is that not that the schnappening is dead or gone, but we're kind of letting it become what it's been the whole time. I'm not going to call it the schnappening. You're more than welcome to call it the schnappening, but it's confusing because so often what I put into my tiny little glass is not actually schnapps. I'm also realizing, so last week I didn't have the drink cam plugged in. This time it's just a little bit off. West Side Oktoberfest. Facebook Live is messed up. Okay, that... Facebook Live seems to be working for everybody else, right? I don't know. Messed up how? Like, messed up something on my end or messed up something just messed up? Tell me what's going on for you and I'll see if I can troubleshoot. And while you do that, I'm going to dive into a bottle of scotch, because it feels like when you're coming off of a weekend where you are hanging out around a campfire and... camping, that some kind of big peaty smoky scotch is appropriate. I did not drink scotch this weekend. The only alcoholic beverages that I consumed this weekend, other than a little bit of some bottle of wine my wife opened up, all I had was beer. I had a lot of beer. So this is a Going to be a nice refreshing change for me. This is not doing a shot at the beginning of a show. I also want to make that clear for anybody that is new to this thing. We don't start the show off with a shot of something. We start the show off with a taste of some kind of fun booze. Marco is having a Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Julia says, Scotch, you should be saving that up. It'll be worth millions one day, maybe. Not like a bottle of scotch that has been sitting on my bar for I don't know how long. You can't see how much is in there. I can't find a spot to put it. Let's see if the drink cam picks it up. See how low that is? There's not much scotch in there. So, no. It's not going to be worth anything any day. Okay, this is Ardbeg. It is a very peaty, very smoky scotch, and one that I love. I think it's delicious. Ooh, Bob is having a Cincy Light Lime. Not to spoil the surprise at all, but I drank a lot of Cincy Light this weekend. Not Cincy Light Lime, although that would have been tasty. No, we just drank a bunch of Cincy Light and something else that I'll talk about in a minute because it has to do with what I'm going to drink tonight. One of my favorite things about camping, the food, number one, I love cooking good food while you're camping and trying to find fun ways to cook better food while you're camping, because I think there's a lot of people that think that camping food is just kind of not good. It's like a lot of just crappy canned food or stuff like that, and that is not at all. Okay, Facebook stream is showing as a reel for me. Oh, that's lame. Darla over at Northeast Ohio Craft Brewery News is having Sam Adams Jacko. I have not had that beer for a long time either. Facebook does like have some kind of weird thing where they are pushing reels as their whole video that is on the platform. I anticipate at some point that's just going to become normal, which I don't like. Chris says that camping food is my best food. I mean, I love it. We had, let me drink this and I'll tell you about some of the food we had. Nothing crazy, but. Oh, yeah. Super peaty. That big kind of band-aid-y peat smell. Hot, boozy, nice little smoky finish. Yeah, that would have been a good drink for around the campfire. Had I been drinking booze around the campfire. I think this might be the first camp out I've had in a long time where I didn't bring any booze. There was no... That's not true. I forgot one thing. Go to the actual... sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. Go to the actual page, the Gnarly Gnome page, and then click on the little icon with the gnome lights up red, showing that I'm alive. Click on that and see what it does. I said that I didn't drink anything other than beer, and I lied. I remember that we had a buddy that came and hung out with us. He actually came up every day, but he would come and hang out and then leave and go home and sleep in his own bed and then come back the next day. But he brought a bottle of bourbon, so I did drink a little bit of bourbon. Just a little bit, though. That doesn't count. A little bit of bourbon is not actually drinking bourbon, right? Like, you have to drink bourbon. Okay, let me get through this, and then we'll talk about camping food. This is a nice transition away from camping into normal life. I don't know why I don't drink scotch more often. I really do enjoy it a lot. Oh, yeah. Warms you up right down here. Yeah. That's good. I can get behind that. Let's see. Chris says that you spend hours prepping and about 10 minutes eating and then the rest of the time cleaning up, but it tastes so good. Yeah, the cleanup to me is the worst part about eating while you're camping, because cleaning up is such a pain. But the food itself always tastes better. I love the process of, I love cooking, but like at home, like the prep is kind of a pain because there's other stuff going on that you'd want to be doing more. When you're camping, like you can literally spend the whole day prepping for dinner, and it just becomes the activity that you're doing, you know, chopping vegetables or, you know, whatever it may be. And I think that's one of the things that I like so much about it, is that like there's no pressure that like, oh my God, dinner's in an hour, we need to get started on dinner. It's just like, no, that's what we're gonna work on today. Today we make dinner for tonight. that's the activity. Today we drink beer, and we make dinner. that's kind of a perfect way to live life. Just prepping for dinner constantly. I do. There's a lot of people that say that breakfast is their favorite meal of the day, and I get that. And I love a good camping breakfast. We made the exact same meal for breakfast every single day, with one exception. We did just Getta and eggs every single day, and it was amazing, and it was delicious, and I'm okay with that. There was one day my wife also decided that she would make some French toast. I think that was today. It feels like it could have been today or yesterday, but I'm pretty sure it was today. It seems like it was a really long time ago. Chris says, where I camp in the ADK, is that I don't know. There is no water or power on site, so you learn some fun tricks. Yeah. When I'm camping, where I'm roughing it that much, Adirondacks, that was my guess, but I didn't want to look stupid. I'm going to be honest. And I actually feel like you've talked about the fact that you camp at the Adirondacks before on an episode. Darla says that campfire potatoes are so good. Oh, yes. And we had some campfire potatoes. And that's not true. We cooked them in a cast iron. So that it's not the same thing. but they're good. They're wonderful. There are some staples that we always make. But what I was saying was, like, when I'm, like, actually roughing it camping, there are very different types of meals that I will make, just because I don't want to have to clean up afterwards. Whereas when we are car camping, which is what we do, my kids are little, we car camp. We bring air mattresses. We do like the whole nine yards. It's bordering on glamping. We didn't bring it. My in-laws brought a big giant inflatable movie screen, and we set it up over by the house, and in range of their Wi-Fi, and set up an Apple TV, and we watched movies both Saturday and Sunday night. So I don't know if that counts as camping at all, but it was a ton of fun. But the meals are very different when you're doing that type of camping versus if you're backpacking somewhere, which I've come to the conclusion that I just, like, as much as I love being outside and I do enjoy backpacking, it's not my ideal type of camping. It's not as fun to me, I think. I think I've come to that conclusion. All right, I'm going to open up a beer, but you guys may be shocked to see that I have two different glasses, which means I got to open two beers to fill both glasses, because it would make one feel very lonely if it was filled, if its friend was filled and it wasn't filled. So I wonder what I can fill two different beer glasses with that would be appropriate this time of year. That's right. Oktoberfest Quest Showdown time. I was not planning on doing any of these live. I wasn't planning on it, but I also planned on getting through a certain number of Oktoberfest beers in the bracket this weekend, and I didn't get through as many as I wanted to. I did pretty good, but I did not get through as many as I wanted to. I had this idea that I was going to get through all of round one and then edit together maybe four videos that are just all of those beers smashed together into one quick roundup of what round one was. And then round two would look a little different. Round three would look a little different. And then, of course, round four is hopefully the finals, if the math all adds up this year, which you never really know until pretty much the last minute of what it's going to look like. And then the last, 2 weeks of the competition are always incredibly hectic, trying to get through all of the beers that you need to get through the rounds. I'm not going to give it away yet, but there was a big upset this weekend, one that I was not expecting. Although, looking at the way things worked last year, I should have expected it, but not for the same. It wouldn't have been the same reasons. The reason that the one didn't do well last year was not because. Not the same reason that it lost this year. It was just an absolute upset. It was great. I like that. All right. I have one that I'm really, really dying to get my hands on this year. And then we also have Wiedemann's. So we got Wiedemann's Oktoberfest. And this is super cold. It's fresh out of the cooler, fresh out of rolling around in the back of the car on the way home. This is a Märzen. They do have a Fest beer, but they do not package their Fest beer. This is 5.6 ABV. It does have IBUs, if you believe in that sort of thing. 15 IBUs. And it may surprise you, but this is 12 fluid ounces. I'm not going to read the whole description on the back of the can because this is the same description that's on all of their cans. It doesn't actually tell you about the beer. It tells you about the brewery, about Wiedemann's, who they are and what they're all about. All right, so that one is going to take on maybe an underdog. I'm going to move this so you can't see it because there's a sticker right on the front of it, which is not going to look good on camera. This one has historically not done great in the competition. However, I have high hopes and lofty dreams that this is a year for it to do better than it has historically. This is Rheingeist Franz. Historically speaking, this beer has always been what I call a Foktoberfest, a fake Oktoberfest. They made previously an ale. And the malt profile is what an Oktoberfest should be, but they use a different yeast. That's not a bad thing. It is not to style, and you can argue whether or not we care about that at all you want. But historically, it just hasn't been as good as other Oktoberfest beers. Not a bad beer by any stretch, just not as good. This year is the first year that they are making it an actual lager. This one is 5.4%, so a little lower than the Wiedemann's. It does not tell me the IBUs because it doesn't really mean anything. Okay, it says Franz, Oktoberfest beer. Franz is our Oktoberfest brau, not traditional, but uber German. He is an autumnal brew. A bit of a dreamer, often hiking in the Alps to return brimming with great ideas. Like those brisk hikes in the steep mountains, these Munich and Vienna malts will pump you up. Okay, I'm ready to get pumped up. Pumped up with Oktoberfest. Again, for anybody that is not familiar with what is going on right now, every single year, what I do is I go and I buy every single packaged Oktoberfest beer from Cincinnati. So it's usually around 30 something beers. I buy them all and I put them all through a bracket style competition. So think like March Madness, except not March and not Madness. Although sometimes I'm spilling this all over, although it can get a little mad. At the end of that, there are four final beers. I don't have a. Usually four. Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less. Depending on how many actual packaged beers are released. Those beers then take on each other in the finals, and we do that live. We do this big live tasting competition, blind, so I don't know what the beer, I mean, I know what the beers are, but I don't know which one's which. I bring in a couple other guest judges so that there can't be a tie, and so that I'm held to some kind of, I don't know, some kind of standard so that somebody can make sure I'm not just picking my favorite. Well, I am picking my favorite. That's where this whole competition gets a little strange. I'm not picking the best example of a Märzen or the best example of a Fest beer because those are two very different beers or different beers. I'm just picking the one that I like the best out of each one that is competing until there's only one left. I hope that makes sense. I will tell you, we have an official date. Let me look this up so that I don't mess it up. We have finals on the calendar. There are some of you that are probably not going to like this this date. I'm putting that out there right now. Zach says he's having a penultimate Samuel Adams Cincinnati Taproom Kolsch. Okay. October 7th. That is a Tuesday. Tuesday night during Cincy Beer Week. Oktoberfest Quest finale at Madry. So we will be out in the beer garden. Hopefully weather will cooperate. We will be hanging out in the beer garden, which should be a very fun place to hang out because they have all the trees there. The following, they do this big tree giveaway thing and every year. And the night before they give away all these trees, they do a night called Night in the Trees. And they decorate the beer garden, and there's trees everywhere, and you can hang out there. It's like you're sitting in the woods drinking beer. The trees will hopefully be there when we're doing this show. So mark it on your calendar. 7 p.m. is when it starts. So if you have earlier plans, in theory, you could get your earlier plans done in time to still make it to Mad Tree by 7 p.m., I hope, if you have other plans. This was a little complicated to get scheduled this year. There's just a lot of stuff going on. All right, let me move these so that they're somewhat centered in here. Zach says that Rheingeist is the best in this lineup tonight. We will find out. We will make that decision. So Wiedemann says that they are a Märzen. Rheingeist does not say if it's a Märzen or a Fest beer. Just looking at them, the Rheingeist is definitely a lighter beer. So Rheingeist, Wiedemann. Rheingeist looks a little more Fest beery. Let's see. Let me get in here. All right, so Wiedemann is definitely malty, but there's that touch of kind of that I get like a fruit almost from the yeast sometimes. Yeah, but definitely a little bit of bread, a little bit of a little bit of bread. All right, let's taste it and see what it tastes like. That's good. There's a lot of like a fruity kind of thing at the end, which I don't know if that's something that I like. We'll give it a minute to kind of air out a little bit too. Zach says that I better pick Westside Brewery or Esoteric Oktoberfest this year. They've gotten the shaft and they're the best Oktoberfest, in my opinion, in the city. I thought last year when we were at the finals, I thought the one that I was picking was Westside. I'll be honest. I think I said that out loud during the show. I was convinced that the one that I thought was the best was Westside, and it was not. It was Mad Tree. So every year, I'm pulling up previous years' Oktoberfest Quest just to see kind of how it's shaken out over previous years. If my device will cooperate with me after being in the camping mode for several days. I'm not going to say anybody has, quote unquote, gotten the shaft in this competition. I think that it has been extremely, extremely fair. There are breweries that I know I love their Oktoberfests that have not won. And Westside is definitely one of them. Esoteric obviously is not won yet, but they do have a great Oktoberfest. And I would love to see one of those breweries win. This is silly to be sitting here trying to pull this up instead of just moving on. But now it's in my head. Okay. We have to download this. That's fine. So every year, whoever wins the competition gets first dibs at the following year's finals. They get first dibs at hosting the actual competition at their brewery, which is why it happens to be at Madry this year, because obviously they won last year. Before that, last year's finals were at Sonder, because Sonder won the previous years. In fact, two breweries have both won twice, and that is Madry and Sonder. I know that they are both chomping at the bit to be the first to win three times. So, Zach says, how was your Labor Day? I know you were watching that badass movie, Ernest Scared Stupid. I love the spooky movie season. I can't believe today is the first day of September. Yeah, it doesn't feel like September. Okay, so Esoteric. I'm looking at this year. Let's look at last year. I will say, oh goodness. Esoteric has already competed in the first round. I will not say yet if they won or lost, because that would spoil things. However, I anticipate that you will probably see that this week, unless things end up way busier than I want them to. Excuse me. Which is possible. It's going to be a busy week. All right, 2024. Let's see what happened. Esoteric got knocked out in the first round. Again, not that they got unfairly knocked out. They were knocked out in the first round by Madry, who ended up winning the competition. So they were beat by a great beer. What was the other one? Oh, Westside. Westside, like I said, made it to the finals. Their Oktoberfest, not their fest beer, which I always think they have a great fest beer. It's been really interesting. Oh, let me drink this this Rhine Guy, see what's happening here. That's good beer. That's interesting. Like, it's not as hoppy as I was thinking it was going to be, or that I remember it being. Like, it definitely, to me, tastes like a different beer, which I don't... obviously, it's a different beer if they're using a different yeast, but I don't think they changed anything else about it other than the yeast. And it tastes, like, way smoother to me. Like, way... I hate using smooth as a descriptor for... a beer. Like, that's not great. Zach says, I'm going to be honest, Sonder's Oktoberfest hasn't blown my mind, and Madry is good, but still they haven't blown my mind either. I feel like Franz needs to win, if not Westside. I don't think, this is for me, Oktoberfest is a beer style that's not supposed to blow your mind. It's not supposed to be some kind of big crazy beer that shocks you. It's just supposed to be a super easy drinking beer. Supposed to lean a little bit towards the malt, but not be sweet. It should still be dry enough that you can sit there and kind of drink them all day long. So I don't... I would agree that neither one of those blows my mind. Madry or Sonder are not beers that are like mind-blowing. They're just great traditional Oktoberfest beers. They also, what I think is interesting about both of those, and maybe it's a sign of kind of what I'm looking for in Oktoberfest beer, they kind of blend the two styles together between Märzen and Fest beer. They kind of create this like hybrid in-between thing that I think is really fun. Because it satisfies the desire to have some kind of bigger, maltier Oktoberfest Märzen style beer, but it is in a format that is a little easier to drink, which I think is what Fest beer is supposed to be. Zach says, "Will you ever pick Sam Adams as a good Oktoberfest?" I think they are always a classic favorite. I think it's a great Oktoberfest. Whether or not they win, I'm sure they've gotten past round one in the past. In fact, I'm almost positive they had. Let's see. Last year, Chris says, "I'm enjoying the Grain Works and Third Eye. Both also have competed in the first round already." Let's see. How did Sam Adams... Last year, Sam Adams... they made it to round two. So Sam Adams knocked out Warped Wing in round one. And then, let's see. Oh, okay. Then got knocked out by Northern Rose Fest Beer in round two. I'm not going to go through and maybe I should make that note. Maybe I should make that a note for me to look at that I can see what each one did every year, like how far it progressed. There are some great Oktoberfests in this city. It's some years it's really hard to decide. I think I have some definite thoughts on both of these. Neither one of these are traditional. Well, okay. Zach wants to know what my formula is for picking the Oktoberfest winner. It's actually really, really simple. And I talked about it a lot this weekend when I was drinking these beers because there were people there that did not know this whole thing that I do. Each time that I put one side by side, two side by side, I guess. Oh, somebody's making me really burpy here. All I'm doing is I'm trying to figure out which one better represents what I want an Oktoberfest beer to taste like. I don't care what the style guidelines say, for the most part. I do think that there are some kind of guidelines in my head that I think are important, but they are not to BJCP or any other kind of judging guidelines. I think a great Oktoberfest beer, it needs to be anywhere from a dark golden to we're going to call it a copper color. It needs to be somewhere in that range. It needs to have good head retention to the beer. It cannot go away really quickly. I think that that's a huge fault in a lot of beer styles. It needs to be bready. So malty is a better descriptor. It needs to be malty, leaning towards the malt, I'll say. And then it has to be dry enough that you can drink enough of them and want to keep drinking more. I think that that is critical to Oktoberfest, is that it can't be a beer that you just want to sit and have 10 ounces of and be done. You want to like desire to sit there and drink liters of this all day and all night, which is where this gets very difficult because there are some beers that maybe lean towards the Märzen style that are great in the evening. If I'm sitting around a fire pit or I'm sitting in a beer garden and the sun's down and it's starting to cool down just a little bit, there are some Märzens that I'm like, oh, this is perfect. This is a beer that I can just sit and kind of sip on tonight and it fits. And on the flip side, there are some Fest beers that are almost more like a Helles lager that I'm in when it's hot outside and I'm sweating, that I just want to knock those back. But to find a beer that crosses over that threshold that works in both, I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I'm looking for. A beer that just fits drinking all day long and copious amounts. With that, so if we'll go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here. If you're making a Märzen and you want it to win my competition, it's probably got to be a lighter Märzen, something that's leaning towards a Fest beer. And maybe on the same end, same token, if you're going to make a Fest beer, it needs to lean towards a Märzen. With that being said, I think a lighter Fest beer can definitely win this competition if it's got a full enough body to kind of satisfy that that evening drinking kind of experience that I'm craving. I hope that answers the question of what my formula is for picking. But it really, like, each round is basically just which one do I like better for what I want my Oktoberfest to be. Let's see. Zach says, how are you enjoying this new Franz recipe? It's good. I really want to try it next to last year's, if I could. Because, man, it doesn't seem like the same beer at all to me. I definitely have some thoughts here. So, well, let's talk about what I like about each of these first. It's good. Okay, what I like. So Rheingeist, I called it smooth earlier. It comes in with this like kind of almost softness that makes it go down really easy. It's got a good full body to it, which is a little deceptive when you look at it. Like, you're expecting a lighter beer. When you really look at it, you can kind of see that there's some copper highlights going on. That's not even a real thing, copper highlights. It's like there's some copper tones in its color. Zach says, I bet you pick Rheingeist tonight. I don't know. That's what I like about it. What I don't like is that it doesn't have enough of a finish for me. Like, it just kind of falls off. Okay. I have another thought, but I'll wait until after I declare a winner to say that. Okay. The Wiedemann, or what I like, is the bready notes. This definitely comes hard and fast with like a it's leaning towards there's almost like a caramely thing going on. Zach says, how many Oktoberfests do you have total in the competition this year? I don't know the total number yet, because there are still some that I don't know if they're going to release it in packaging. So I won't know until the competition is pretty close to... We won't know until probably midway through this month, to be certain on a couple of them. This definitely...
Wiedemann is definitely trying to make a traditional Märzen. And I think that there is a lot of power in making both styles as a brewery. I like that, and I like that we're starting to see that from breweries. Even if you're not putting on both in packaging, Oktoberfest does not need to be in packaging. In fact, I still think it's nuts that we have so many that are in packaging here in Cincinnati, because it's a beer that's designed to be drank in a beer garden with other people in large amounts, not like pulling one out of your fridge and sitting on your front porch and watching traffic and drinking a beer. I do that, but I don't think that's what it's for. Zach says, have you ever thought about judging other Oktoberfests out of the city? Yeah, like anytime. So if there's tap rooms in the city that are different breweries, so like Warped Wing is a part of this one because they have a tap room here. When North High was here, they were in the competition. West 6th is part of the competition. So I do judge beers that are not from Cincinnati. I also am more than happy to drink beers that are not Cincinnati Oktoberfests. And in my head, of course I'm judging them. And of course I'm putting them up against all the stuff that we make. And I will say that there are a lot of great ones. But as far as making them part of the bracket, no, it doesn't make any sense. I'm a completionist. I like to, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right. I want to be able to say that this is the best this, or this is my favorite this, because I know, because I've tried them all. And if you're going to throw some other random beers in there, it's like, why would you choose that one? I have in the past, if I was trying to hit an even number to make the bracket easier and to make it work better, I've thrown in some imported Oktoberfests or things like that, just to make the number work out. I'm much more likely, if you hit that point and we need, you know, to do something in a later round to get the number to even up to make the bracket work right, I'm much more likely to have you guys vote on one that was already eliminated to bring it back from the dead, basically, and put it back in the competition than I am to bring in an outside beer. Something that may be interesting. Here, let me take another sip of this. Zach says, I take it back. Listerman's Oktoberfest will win this year. Oh, wait. Actually, that's a good one that is a fun one to talk about. I'm fairly certain there is a Listerman Fest beer in packaging out there in the world. I'm going to throw it out there right now because I haven't seen it, but I have seen pictures of cans of Listerman's Oktoberfest. So if somebody has, here's the problem. If somebody has at least four or five, I can get by with four if I need to. Five is really the number that I need to make the whole thing work the way it's supposed to. I need five cans of Listerman's Fest beer if it's out there, if it exists. And I'm pretty sure it does. this is the first year where I'm pretty confident that I'm going to struggle getting a hold of one of the beers that I know I know it should be in the competition. If it's a packaged Oktoberfest beer, it's supposed to be in the competition. So stay tuned. I have a couple other avenues I'm going to go down with that if I need to. I forgot what I was going to be talking about before. I keep getting so distracted by other things. Okay, we'll take one step back instead of three steps back. The amount of beer that enters into the house. So I mentioned that I need five. That's to get through. It's usually four rounds before the finals. So you have normally around 32 beers, normally. Then that gets down, obviously, to 16, then to 8, then to the final four. I save one can back of everything. I do a thing at the end of the Oktoberfest season where sometimes I do it just by myself if I'm feeling a little spunky. Sometimes I do it in the form of a party with other people. But I always make what I call the ultimate Cincinnati Oktoberfest beer. And that is a cuvée of every single packaged Oktoberfest beer. And I put it in a big boot or something and try it to see if it's the best out of any of them and even better than the winner. And so far, it's actually been really great. It's never been bad. So I think that I'm onto something about how you make the perfect Oktoberfest. It gets really complicated with saving the beers. Because like I mentioned before, sometimes I allow one of the beers that was eliminated to come back via an audience vote. So I need to always have that beer just hanging out just in case it comes back. So I have just like Oktoberfest beer, like oozing out of every beer fridge in the house. Like if I still have some other beer like in the main fridge that's behind the bar, but everything else is just at this point filled. Like this fridge here in the studio, filled with Oktoberfest. This is like the working fridge. So this one is where one of every Oktoberfest lives and stays protected down here. And then there's another shelf that is what I call the ready shelf. These are ones that, like, in this round right now, they need to battle it out. And so they're ready to go. Chris says, I do that with my bourbons. I call it my ultimate mixtape. I like that. All right. Let me make a winner here, or choose a winner. And then we'll cuvée them. As they're kind of warming up and getting to more reasonable temperature, the Rheingeist is getting way more floral, which I kind of like. The Weedman's getting a whole lot better too. This is actually, it's not hard. I have a winner in my head. But I'm appreciating both of these a lot more than I thought I was going to. Got to save some for a cuvée here. I can tell you which one I've consumed more of, which is very interesting. Just looking at them. If this was just based on looks, I'm giving it to Rheingeist, because it's just a better looking beer. That should be expected when you are one of the biggest breweries in the country. If I was judging just based on aroma, oh man, I don't know. Keep in mind, I've been sitting around a campfire for the last 4 days. But this one is starting to there's like this cool, like almost earthiness that's coming out that I like. Earthiness makes it sound like a mushroom or something. Does not smell like a mushroom, but yeah, like a great like earthy noble hop thing. I don't know what they hop it with, either one of these, but it is interesting. Like this goes more floral, this goes more earth. That's pretty cool. All right, so if I had to pick one on aroma, I actually think at this point, I'm giving that one to Wiedemann. I really like the way it smells. All right. Oh, no. Julia's counting the sniffs along with the sips. Yeah, she's counting everything. If she's still on, is she still here or does she have to go to bed? She might watch it tomorrow. I should make it private so she can't count. That'd be funny. All right. So now if I'm basing it off of just flavor. That's dramatically different just in the time that I've been sitting here drinking it as it warms up. Wow. Okay, this is... You know what? Here's... I think... This is absurd. This is way closer than I would have thought it would be. I'm giving it to Rheingeist, but it's not by a lot. I think that as these warm up and as they hit whatever temperature they're at right now, this is the sweet spot for Wiedemann's, where it's drinking right now. I think they serve it too cold in the tap room. I think that most of us are pouring it too cold out of our fridges. Yeah. It was close. All right. Let's cuvée this. There's a Wiedemann and the fun for me too, like when you're doing these showdowns, you get so many different types of Oktoberfest and different personality traits to each one of them that when you then combine them together, it really does create these whole different beers they always work well together because they're all Oktoberfest, but they're all so different. All right. So this is Wiedegeist or... Geisterman? No, Wiedegeist. Has to be Wiedegeist. I don't love the color. It's not dark like the Wiedemann was, or darker like the Wiedemann was. It's also not brilliant and bright like the Rheingeist was. It's just kind of like a dull copper color. Smells great. It definitely gives you both of those things that both of the beers were giving you. It's floral, earthy. I'm not getting any of that fruit that I was when it was cold. Yep. Those work great together. You know what? Wiedegeist is a winner. I think I like the cuvée better than I like either one of them by themselves. That's wild. That's a good beer. I did promise that I would talk about what we ate while we were camping. Do we need to get into that, or does everybody need to go to bed? We enjoy our campouts. I'm blown away by this one. I thought that Rheingeist was gonna win. Wiedemann has never done incredible in the competition. It's always got knocked out. I think first round every time by somebody. But Yeah, that was way closer than I thought it was going to be. I don't know if Wiedemann's doing anything different to it, but it's a good beer. My God, I'm so burpy. This is ridiculous. All right. There's another one. Somebody's got to do a burp count. There's like at least four or 40. It's either four or 40. Camping food. Let's go to that before we wrap things up, because we're somehow almost at an hour, which means it is definitely time for a lot of you to go to bed. So we usually have one day while we're camping out that a lot of people come hang out. We normally throw some kind of a party for that day, and we make some kind of big meal. So we all kind of split it up. Somebody does the main dish. Somebody does a couple sides. Somebody does some desserts. There's just lots of food happening that night. For that night this year, the party usually has some kind of a theme, and none of us could come to a conclusion. So we did choose your own theme. So most of the day I was dressed like a cowboy, because that's just what I do now when I'm camping, or when I'm outside, or when I'm inside, or I dress like a cowboy a lot, because it makes me feel like I'm a cowboy. So most of the day I was dressed like a cowboy, and then in the evening, when the actual party kicked in, I don't even know how to start telling the story. While we were discussing ideas for the theme of this party several weeks ago, my sister-in-law, who loves planning things and is also a little geeky about a few things, she was coming up with a list, or I should say we were coming up with a list of ideas for not only this year's party, but future ones too, because we do it every single time. And on that list, she had several things that I thought were a little questionable. Bear in mind, we are camping. We're camping. We are sleeping in a tent. Most of us are not showering all weekend. We are cooking outside. We are doing outside activities the whole time. It's an outdoor thing. One of her themes that she really wanted to do was prom. She wanted people to dress up in like evening gowns and like suits and slow dance and take pictures and prom. my evening costume change, it really was not much of a costume change, was prom. My prom outfit consisted of a cowboy hat, because I'm always dressed like a cowboy. I had a six shooter strapped to my hip the whole time, and then a suit jacket. That was it. That was how I prommed. My wife, however, went full on prom dress. She spent most of the night hanging out in a prom dress. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But that's like the weird the weird part of our campouts is the parties, and they're only going to get weirder now, because there's this list of party themes. Marco and Julia, you can come up with a list of party themes, and it is nothing compared to the list that actually exists. Nothing like it. And maybe I'll try to get a copy of the actual list to show you, but so the food. So for the main party, this big weird choose your own theme party, we made ribs was the food. We usually smoke something for this big one, because it's easy to feed a bunch of people if you're smoking something. And then I made like a cucumber salad kind of thing. We had nothing really exciting. Mac and cheese and some kind of potato casserole thing. And then a whole table of dessert. Like the amount of desserts is insane. That was so ribs. Ribs was one of our meals. Then there was one night. I always, if we're camping, I try to make steak for dinner one night. I love cooking steak either in cast iron over the camp stove and just douse it with butter and garlic and rosemary and that whole thing. Or just throw it straight over the campfire and get that good smoky campfire flavor. Oh, it's so good. I love steak while I'm camping. We did that one night. Those were our two main dinners because I think we did leftovers the other nights because there's a lot of food. Lunches, we did a lot of hot dogs this time. My wife made us some really good sandwiches one day for lunch. She was making grilled cheese or something for the kids and then did like some kind of ham and cheese something or other for me. And I don't even know what she ate that day. Some kind of sandwich, some kind of grilled sandwich. It was good. And then obviously Getta eggs. I've said that already for breakfast. It wasn't crazy. The meals were not crazy this time, but it was good. Just good food. But yeah, I think it's time to wrap up so I can go take a shower because, the weather was perfect. It was perfect camping weather, but, I still got really sweaty and gross. So I'm going to go take care of that. And, I appreciate all of you guys staying up late to hang out with me and, do this whole thing. I love the Weekly Pint. I love all of you for making the Weekly Pint what it is. If you know somebody that likes to hang out and have a drink on Monday nights, then tell them about the show. Tell them we get together on the internet at 9:30-ish. None of that should be hard to find. Go to the internet, 9:30-ish, and we drink together. You guys know how to do this, right? Share with your friends. Tell them about this, and if you really, really like it, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support. You get like a bonus star for that. And I appreciate all of you. We will be back next week. We'll do it again. There's some good shows in the works as far as the Brewcast and Drinking with the Gnome. There's some stuff dropping on the calendar that I think you'll like. So stay tuned for that. Other than that, go drink local this week. Go find something local and tasty and drink it. That's your homework. We'll see you next week. I appreciate you guys. In theory, I have outro music. There it is. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. I forgot that the outro music is longer now that I put the actual music in there without editing it shorter. Figure this out. I'm always making this up as I go along. See you next week. Maybe one day I should do a schnapps bracket and then put scotch in there. That'd throw everybody off.
Snaps Bracket!